Why these particular four passages of Scripture? The reason these have been chosen is that in each of them the word servant is used. That's why the word servant is used in each of these passages of Scripture. Now, when we come to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, we read such words as, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and to anoint me, to open prison doors, and to preach to those who are poor," and so on. And it's talking about exactly the same thing in these other passages, but the word servant isn't in that passage, Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. Now, this is why, on a technical level, this is why these particular portions of Scripture have been called the servant songs. Let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, and this will be the context of our study. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I'm the old school. I like to turn to hard copy. I like to turn to the Scriptures and read from the Bible. It slows me down and us down a little instead of having them put up on the screen, but I'm the old school. I'd like you to get familiar with your Bible personally. Last week I read a sermon called How to Listen to a Sermon. And I have a sermon called How to Listen to a Sermon. Well, I just go along to church, sit down and see how it goes. No, don't do that. The Scripture doesn't encourage that. So he had a number of points. Point number two was put away your smartphone, put away your iPad, and get used to getting back to the Bible as a hard copy so that you're able to get the context of the whole thing and not just a few verses on the screen. I'll leave that with you. That's not a point in my sermon, but I'm going to include that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read from verse 9, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 9, receiving in the end of your faith the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Notice the phrase there. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. Notice the order. What comes first there? There's an order there. What comes first? Sufferings. And then? The glory that's following, yes. And who is seeing this in this passage? According to this passage, who is seeing this?
Believers who had not seen Christ in the flesh.
Yes, true. What does the passage actually say? The prophets, that's it. Yes, you are right, sister. You are right. It's the prophets. The prophets. The prophets were seeing the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. So when we read the prophets, we will see the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we will also see his triumphant arrival after the day of the Lord and the establishment of the Messianic kingdom on earth forever and ever. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. Now, they had a problem here. They had to go searching. They searched, they inquired. See that there, verse 9? Verse 10? Of this salvation, the prophets inquired. So in other words, they started asking questions about what they were prophesying. They started searching diligently. What is this we've said? What is this we've written down? Because they were moved by the Spirit of God. And they were taken to vistas that they had never imagined. And they were faithful to the prophetic calling. They inquired and searched carefully. Prophesied of the grace that would come to you, that is in the first and second advent of the Lord. Searching. What or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that followed. What were they really trying to understand? It says here, there's a word here, there's a phrase here, verse 11. What were they really trying by searching to discover? What manner of time? It was the timing of it all. It was the timing of it all that bothered them. We now in hindsight can look back and say, ah yes, Jesus came the first time, lived his life and died. Then he's gone back to heaven. Now he's in heaven. And the promise is that he's going to come again. But that was not clear to the Old Testament prophets. They had a combined or a viewpoint that was joined together with the first coming and the second coming. Let's turn to one. Zechariah chapter... Well, first let's go find the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, I think it is. I will be directing you to your notes in just a moment. We'll just have some preliminary comments, and then we must keep going. The book of Zechariah, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, I'm sorry, yes. Thank you. I'm terribly confused. What's the last book in the Tanakh? The last book in the Tanakh, not the Torah. The last book in the Tanakh.
No, it's 2 Chronicles.
2 Chronicles, yes. Did you know that's the last book in the Jewish Bible, 2 Chronicles? Okay. I just threw that out there to confuse you. Okay. I'm confused. Book of Zechariah. Zechariah 9. Verse 9. You tell me, is this the first coming of Christ or is this the second coming of Christ? You start thinking, all right? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the colt, the foal of a donkey. First or second advent? The first, yes. We believe this is a reference of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem on that wonderful day, perhaps day 173,880, according to your understanding of Daniel's 70 weeks. Okay? Yeah, special day, Palm Sunday. All right. Read the next verse. Verse 10. How'd you go with that one? He was still doing things. Here in verse 9 he's riding a donkey. Here in verse 10, what's he doing? Correct. Here is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will cut off the chariot and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He will speak peace to the nation. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the triumph of the same Messiah. Verse 9, he's coming back on a donkey. Verse 10, he's coming back on the white horse of Revelation 19. Coming back on a war horse, and he's going to take over. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the car sticker, which I often refer to. Jesus is not coming back to take sides. Jesus is coming back to take over. That's right. He's stepping in, and he's going to stop the sin and iniquity. Now put a date on these, please. Put a date on them, will you? Approximately. The first one is AD, some say AD 30, some say AD 33. Okay, we're not arguing about that. It's in the first century.